Title of the message this morning is Don't Walk That Way No More. I have some imaginations in my mind of people I've dealt with in life, and that's how I'd imagine them saying it. Some mama telling her little boy, don't walk that way no more. Don't you go that way no more, son. And that's the title of the message. Don't walk that way no more. Don't walk that way no more. And I think you'll see that here in the scriptures. Today, Deuteronomy chapter 17. Let's just read and stand and read a couple of scriptures here together. Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning there in verse number 14. Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning verse 14. It says, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us now as we look at your word. Spirit of God, help me to say what you want me to say. Give strength to my voice also, Lord, please. And I pray you help people to listen carefully and attentively, and that you'd speak to our hearts and challenge us. That's my desire today. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Notice there in verse 16, he was saying, and again, that the king over them, he would not want it to be one who would cause them to return to Egypt. Why? Well, God had brought them out of Egypt. You know that God had brought his people out of bondage in Egypt. They had been slaves in the land of Egypt for many, many years. And he wouldn't want them to go back to something that he'd brought them out of. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were in slavery in Egypt. It was not good for them there. But God brought them out of there. And he said, I'm not going to want your king to return to Egypt or take you back to Egypt. And then he says at the end of the verse, ye shall henceforth, or from this point on, return no more that way. I don't want you to return no more that way. In other words, I don't want you going back there again. I want you to walk that way no more. Don't walk that way no more. Don't go there again. I brought you out of there. I saved you from that. I redeemed you from that. And don't walk that way no more. You know what? The very same thing is true for us today as believers, as Christians. When God saves us out of the bondage and slavery of sin, as Romans 6 tells us, he wants us to return no more that way. Don't walk that way no more. God doesn't just save us and, oh, now I've given you eternal life, and now I've given you a home in heaven, and now you're my child, and now go do whatever you want to do. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. No, he wants us to live for him. He wants us to live a very different life. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now we ought to live for him. The Bible warns us in Romans chapter 6 and says, God forbid, if we would be the ones who would just say, well, I've now been saved, I have liberty in the Holy Spirit of God, I have liberty in Christ Jesus, I can live however I want to live and all my sins are forgiven. God forbid that we would take advantage of the grace of God like that to say, well, I can live however I want and it doesn't matter. I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, it's all forgiven. God doesn't want us to live like that. God doesn't want us to go back to the world and go back into sin and just live how we want to live. He wants us to live our lives with him. In Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible tells us you're bought with a price. How are we bought? Well, Christ redeemed us and purchased us with his own blood, the Bible says. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to purchase us and to redeem us out of sin, to purchase us out of that slavery, out of that slave market, and to set us free. We can become now the children of God and the servants of God. We no longer have to be slaves to sin and servants of sin, the Bible teaches us. When you're saved, God doesn't want you to go back to the world. He wants you to live that new life in Christ. He wants you to embrace that new life and become that new creature, that new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be a partaker of the divine nature. He wants there to be a new life. He wants Christ to be formed in you and your life to be very different. Christ has saved you. And Christ has set you free if you've received Him as your personal Savior. Now don't go back. Don't go back to the things that Christ purchased you from or bought you out of. Don't walk that way no more. A few statements this morning. Number one, don't let your heart be turned away by sinful lust. You know that even when we get saved, we still have a sinful flesh nature. I got saved, but I still have a nature, my body, that will lust and desire after things that the flesh desires after. But when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God also came to live inside of me, came to live inside of my spirit. And I'm to learn as a Christian to walk in the Spirit and yield to the Spirit and submit to the Spirit of God who now lives inside of me. And He's inside of me trying to convict me. Trying to convict me of sin and trying to convict me when my flesh maybe wants to go after those desires and things that appeal to just my nature. And instead cause me to follow after my spiritual nature. You see, the Spirit of God is trying to work in me to make me more like Jesus Christ. And He's still working on me. And He's got a lot of work to do in my life. And He's probably got some work to do in your life. But He's working there and He wants to make you more like your Savior Jesus Christ day by day. Don't let your heart be turned away by sinful lust. Listen, if you're not going to go back to the world, if you're not going to return that way, if you're not going to walk that way no more, we can't let our hearts be turned aside by sinful lust. We just can't. We've got to guard our hearts. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. We need to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. You know, our hearts can be turned away by so many sinful lusts. A lust for women, a lust for money, a lust for power, a lust for many, many things. It can be one of many things, and we not to follow after those things. Deuteronomy there, chapter 17 and verse 17, he warned them. When he is warning them and saying, I don't want you to return no more that way. I don't want you to walk that way no more. One of the warnings he gave them, verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. He said, I don't want your lust to be after women or your lust to be after money. I don't want your lust to be just after some things that the world has to offer. I want your desire to be after God. I want your desire to be for God so that your heart doesn't get turned away. So that your heart keeps following after God, so that you stay in the will of God, so you stay where God wants you to be, and don't return that way no more. We'll come back to Deuteronomy in just a minute, but look with me over to the New Testament, to the book of Timothy, if you would. The book of Timothy. We're going to look at a couple places there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy, the New Testament, chapter number 6. And beginning there in verse 6, it says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It's important to learn contentment in the Christian life. That I'm content with what God has given me. I'm content with what I have. I'm content with the things I possess. I'm content with my wife. I'm content with my children. I'm content with my job. We need to learn contentment. It goes on and says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Who's ever seen, you know, a funeral procession and there's never been a U-Haul truck hooked up behind the hearse, you know, or a U-Haul trailer hooked up, and you know they're going to take and they're going to be able to bury everything with them, and they're going to take everything with them, all their gold and all their silver, they're going to get it all put into there, and they're just going to bury it with them, and they're going to take it with them on into another world, into eternity, and so on. You can't take nothing with you. When you leave this world, you leave it with no more than what you came into this world with. Nothing's going to go with you. It can be silly sometimes when we can get so consumed with living for things that we're not going to take with us when we die. We need to live for things that are eternal. Notice it goes on and says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Food and clothing, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. He's talking about sometimes that lust of money, where a person has such a love of money that it just consumes them. They live for money more than they live for anything else. You know, sometimes people's love for money has caused them to do things that would hurt their family. Sometimes people's love for money has caused them to produce some things that they didn't really care whether those things hurt people. They didn't really care if those things caused drunk driving accidents. They didn't really care if those things caused some men to become alcoholics and go home and abuse their family. They didn't really care about that. They just cared, I'm going to produce as much of this stuff as I can, because I know that men will desire that, right? And I can make a whole lot of money. Well, there's a lot of things that just the love of money has brought about much destruction into people's lives, and a lot of hurt, a lot of ruin. We need to be careful about the things we lust after and desire after. It says in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. But money itself is not evil, but the love of it and the lust of it, where people long for that. You know what? I've known in my life people who, because they so much desired more money and they so much desired bigger homes and nicer cars and all this, they would work and work and work, and it became the thing that consumed them in life, that they neglected their family and neglected their wife and neglected their children. And then everything fell apart. What are they left with? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing that matters. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It says, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says you're to flee those things. Flee. If you know that you have some lust in your life or some desires in your life, those are wrong desires. Those are sinful lusts. Those are things we not ought to live our life for. He says, you flee those things. Follow after righteousness. Follow after God in your life. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't be going back here where I'm going to return the way that I was before. I'm going to return and go back to Egypt. No, God saved us out of Egypt. He saves us out of our sin. Why? Because He doesn't want us to be ensnared by that. He doesn't want us to be in bondage to that. He doesn't want us to be addicted to any type of thing that is destroying our body or perhaps destroying our family or hurting us. He wants to set us free from all that and give us a new life, a victorious life in Jesus Christ. We're to flee those things, and we're to follow after righteousness to lay hold on eternal life. Flee from those lusts and temptations. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In verse number 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19, says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and that every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You name the name of Christ, you call yourself a Christian, you say you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then what does He say? Depart from iniquity. Well, first off, why? Because God tried to save you out of your sins. He saves us from our iniquity. He pardons us from our iniquity. But He now wants us to live a life over here that is a victorious life, and a life lived for Christ, and a life that honors Him. Not where we say, okay, Christ has saved us, now I'll go and I'll live however I want. No, He wants you to live a new life. He's your Redeemer. He's your Savior. And let's not live a life over here in iniquity. Let's not live a life over here in bondage in Egypt, where we're slaves to sin in our life. Let's live a life that honors the Lord and pleases the Lord. He goes on there in verse 20 and says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He's talking about us. We are those vessels in the house. What kind of vessel do you want to be for your God? Do you want to be a vessel of gold or silver, or do you want to be a vessel of wood, of dirt? Do you want to be a vessel of honor? Do you want to be a vessel of dishonor? Again, as Christ has saved us, He does want to clean up our life. You know what? A person does absolutely nothing to clean themselves up to get saved. I come to God over here and say, God, I'm in bondage. I am in Egypt, so to speak. I'm a sinner.
I'm not good enough to get to heaven. I know I'm guilty. I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong. And we don't clean ourselves up to come to God and to get saved. We come to God a sinner, admitting our sinfulness. And He saves us. If we'll believe on Him and we'll trust on Him and believe in the gospel, He saves us from our sin.
But He wants to begin a process in our life where He sanctifies us, and we allow His Word to cleanse us, and we allow His Holy Spirit to mold us and make us into what God wants us to be. We need to let Him do that so that we can be vessels of honor unto the Lord. Let your life bring honor and glory unto the Lord. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. In other words, purging means there's some things that you're purging, there's some things you're pruning, there's some things you're getting rid of. There are some things that may need to be purged in our life, things that no more belong in our life. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, or ready for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. Listen, we need to flee from those things that would not honor God. We need to flee from those things that would not be pleasing to Him. We need to flee from those things that would keep us from being a clean vessel, a vessel that the Lord can use, a vessel that is ready for the Master to be able to use us as His servant. Flee those things and let's be a vessel of honor unto God. God wants us to be a vessel of honor. God desires a pure heart and a clean heart. Let's flee from those lusts. Flee from those sinful desires of our flesh that will take us back to Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't return that way. Don't walk that way no more. Step over here into the land of victory. Step over here into the life that God wants you to live, a life that's pleasing to Him. If we're not going to return to Egypt, then I say this, number one, don't let your heart be turned away by sinful lusts and sinful desires. Second thing is this. We need to read and meditate on the Word of God. If we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Again, we can't have this life of victory without the Word of God being important in our lives. We just can't. How will our lives be changed? How will our lives be conformed to the image of God if we don't learn God's Word and we don't submit to God's Word in our life? We need to read and meditate on the Word of God. Back there in Deuteronomy chapter number 17, as he continues, he's told them, return that way no more. Don't walk that way no more. Don't go back to Egypt. He says in verse 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. In other words, the law of Moses and so on. Again, at that time when Deuteronomy is written, all that they would have had was the law and so on, and the word of God that was given through Moses. Says, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. He's to read it. He's to read the Word of God. He's to meditate on the Word of God. He's to think on the Word of God and learn to fear the Lord. Listen, we need a love for the Word of God in our lives. We need a fear of the Lord in our lives that would say, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to the life that I used to live. I want to live a new life in Christ Jesus. It'd be so easy for us to be pulled by our flesh nature that's going to desire after the world. It'd be so easy to be pulled back and drawn back into the sinful lust and things of this world if we don't get in the Word of God. And get within our hearts that desire that says, I want to live over in this land. I want to live in the land of victory. I want to live in the promised land. I want to be where God wants me to be and living how God wants me to live. Oh, spend time in the Word of God. We're going to look at a couple verses in Joshua and just the next book of the Bible there and go back and forth a little bit between Joshua and Deuteronomy. Notice Joshua chapter 1 and verse number Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen, we need to read the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. If you say, I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to the way things used to be before I got saved. I want to live a new life for Jesus Christ. I want to be a vessel of honor unto God. I want to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to Him. Then spend time in the Word of God, Christian. Read it, meditate on it, think on it, what it says, and let you have the fear of God in your life. Say, I will do what He wants. I will do what honors Him and pleases Him. Spend time in the Word of God. Read it, meditate on the Word of God. If you're going to return that way no more, number one, don't let your hearts be turned away by sinful lust. Number two, read and meditate on the Word of God. And number three, fear God and do what He says. Fear God and do what He says. Again, notice there in Deuteronomy chapter 17, once again beginning in verse 19, it shall be with him, he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. You know what he says? If you're going to fear God, if you're going to not return that way anymore, and you're going to keep going in the way that God wants you to do, you're not only going to have to read God's Word and meditate on God's Word and think about what God's Word says, you're going to have to decide, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to follow it in my life. And I'm not going to be turned aside to the right hand. I'm not going to be turned aside to the left hand. I'm going to keep following that pathway and keep walking in the direction of my life that God wants me to go. Because if I turn off onto some other path, you know what? That way just be the path that takes me back. That might just be the path that takes me back to the world. That might just be the path that takes me back to how things were before I got saved. I can't turn to the right hand. I can't turn to the left hand. We're to look straight on and go the direction that God wants us to go. Don't return that way no more. Don't return that way no more. Don't go back to Egypt in your life. Don't go back to how things were before you got saved. Fear God and do what He says. Do what His Word says. There in Joshua 1 and verse 7, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Same as what Moses said back there in Deuteronomy. Observe to do. Do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You notice how it talks about prospering? God prospers the person. God blesses the person who will walk in the way that He wants them to walk. You will have a life that is blessed of God if you'll keep walking in the direction and walking in the way that God wants you to go in. Don't return that way. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't walk that way no more. Keep your eyes straight ahead on the Lord. And don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. Just stay in the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and fear God and do what God's Word says. And that led you to a life of great blessing, a life of victory. Listen, the Israelites never had it so good as they had it when they entered into the promised land. And then when they did the things that He said, and when they would drive out the enemies there in their life and in Canaan land. When they would follow God. But if they ever tried to mingle back here with some of the gods of Egypt or the gods of the world or go back to some of the things of the world, boy, it wasn't good for them. Don't return that way. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't let your heart be turned away by sinful lust. Number two, read and meditate on the Word of God. Number three, fear God and do what He says. And number four, remember. Remember that what God has for you is far better than what you left behind. Remember that what God has for you is far better than what you left behind. Look with me there at Joshua chapter 1, and notice verse 6. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 says, be strong and have a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He promised them that Canaan land. There was a promised land. So you're going to divide it for an inheritance amongst all the tribes of Israel. That land will be theirs. And then verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord of God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Listen, you keep following in that way that God wants you to go. And you let Him lead you to the promised land. You let Him lead you to a life of victorious Christian living. You let Him lead you over here to where He wants you to be and living the kind of life that He wants you to live and living a life that is a life of honor unto the Lord, a life of blessing from God. You'll have God with you. You'll have God's blessing. That is far better than anything you could leave behind in the world. Now, don't ever think, well, the God of this world, He has something better to offer me than the God of heaven. Well, I think that what Satan has to offer, I think that what the devil has to offer is better than what God has to offer. No, it's not. No, it's not. The devil is a liar and a deceiver. He's the father of all lies. He's a trickster. He does not want to make our lives happy. He wants to ruin our lives. He offers things that offer temporary pleasure and temporary happiness, but He does not offer things that can bring eternal joy and lasting joy and true happiness in a person's life. On the journey from Egypt to the promised land, think about how God took care of His people. He redeemed them. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of bondage. But on the way leading them, God fed them with manna in the wilderness. Their needs were met every day. He fed them with manna. He gave them water out of the rock in the wilderness. But you know what they did? They complained. They complain. Notice something. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, chapter 11. Here they were. Here was God's people. They had been the slaves in Egypt. They were completely in bondage, completely under the rule of the Egyptians. They had their taskmasters. They gave them the lowly jobs to do. And God said, I'm bringing you out of that. You're my people. You're my people. And I have something far better than that for you. Years ago, I promised to your great-great-great ancestor, Abraham, your own land. And it wasn't Egypt. It wasn't Egypt. It wasn't the world. It wasn't for you to be a slave there to them. Not at all. God used Moses to help lead them and bring them out and bring them across the Red Sea. God did so much for them there. And God took care of them in the wilderness, but yet they begin to complain against God. And notice something in these verses. They begin to wonder, oh, did we have it better down there in Egypt? Did we have it better back there in Egypt? How foolish it is. Look at Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Oh, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Every day, manna. It's God giving us that manna. They were complaining, oh, we had it better in Egypt. Verse 7, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this thy people upon me? How sad it was that here was people that God had redeemed. Here was people that God saved them, brought them out of slavery. God fed them and took care of them every day, providing what they needed. He fed them. He sustained them. But they thought, oh, we had it better back down there in Egypt. You know, Christians can be like that too sometimes.
God saved you and God made such a difference in your life. But then as you begin to walk this way, along that pathway that you're walking, you learn, oh, there are some things that please the Lord and there are some things that displease the Lord. And as you go about the Christian life, you think, oh, I am tired of reading my Bible.
I don't know why being a Christian, you know, I must be faithful to church. And why should I do this? And why should I not do this? And why can't I go there anymore? Why does the preacher think I shouldn't go back to the bars that I used to go to? Why can't I just go back with my old buddies that, you know, we used to drink all we wanted to drink and, you know, we'd curse and swear and we'd have some fun and we'd tell some bad jokes. And you know, we just had a good time. Those close friends had such a good time back there. Those are my friends. Those are my buddies. I had such a good time back there in that life.
I remember when I could do whatever I wanted to do. I could watch whatever I wanted and go to whatever place I wanted to go to. And it really didn't matter. I just was having fun, having the time of my life. And just any desire, any lust I had, it was being satisfied back there.
But now I'm expected to be faithful. Now I got to be faithful to my wife. Now I got to try to keep my heart pure and keep my mind pure. Oh, it was kind of good back there. I kind of liked it back there. Maybe I should go back there. Oh, we could apply it in so many ways. Sometimes people very sadly can lust for and long for and say, oh, it's better back there. And the devil plays games with us too. Do you know that? There's a battle that rages in our mind. The weapons of this warfare are not carnal. Mighty in the God of the pulling down of strongholds, casting down wicked imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. There's a battle that takes place in our mind. The devil would love to make us think, oh, what are you doing? Why do you want to live that Christian life? They want you to do this and you can't do that. And so, and they try to make you get Satan will try to get you focused on what you can do and what you can't do and forget all that what God has given you. And forget about how good it is to have a Christian life. How good it is to have joy when you go home. How good it is to have a family. How good it is to know the Lord.
If I was living in the world, maybe I'd be concerned about my wife and her faithfulness. If I was living in the world, maybe I'd have a lot of burdens with the type of things that my kids were getting into and getting in trouble with this team. If I was living back here in the world, who knows the things that I would be doing that would be separating my home or ruining my life or bringing destruction to my life, bringing snares to my life, as the Bible says.
But over here where I'm trying to go in the way that I'm trying to live, I know I have a wife who is faithful and pure and I'm a blessed man. I know I have children who love the Lord and I don't have any concerns in my life that they're messing with things in this world. And I believe their hearts are pure. And I know they're just beginning to enter those teenage years. But I pray to God that their hearts will remain pure and their hearts will be faithful to the Lord. And they won't ever want to go for some things that the world has to offer. That I could sit as a parent at night and worry, what's happening to my kids? I'm worried about whether they might be tonight. I'm worried about what trouble they might be getting into. I'm worried about what some friend at school might be tempting them with and what pressure they might be being faced to do this, to do that. What some boy wants them to do, what some girl wants them to do, what some crowd is trying to get them into. Oh, it's far better to live over here than to go live in Egypt. The things that this world has to offer is never better than what God has done for you. And what He will do for you if you'll just trust Him and obey Him. If you'll follow Him. The promised land that God was going to give His people was a land flowing with milk and honey. I understand that sometimes in human nature too, we can get tired of the same thing day after day after day. Sometimes people let themselves become dissatisfied with that. Oh, manna again today. What's God feeding us today? Oh, manna. He never let them starve. He never let them hunger. He took care of them. But what was awaiting them when they would go into Canaan there was a land flowing with milk and honey. Some of the greatest land on the earth. Some of the most fertile ground on the earth that would grow anything they wanted it to grow. They would live in one of the most beautiful lands and a great land if they would just go and keep going the direction God wanted. He wanted to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. He wanted to give them a land where the clusters of grapes grew so large that two men had to carry it back on a stick. One man here with a stick and another man back here with the other end of the pole and a cluster of grapes that just came down off that thing. Oh, it was a great land. It was a blessed land. And God had so much that He wanted to give them. But God's people were acting so dumb, if I can say it that way, and so deceived by the devil that they said, I think we maybe had it better back there in Egypt. Maybe it would have been better for us just to stay there. What's wrong with Moses? Why did he lead us out of there? God says to us, return no more that way. Just as Moses warned the people, oh, return no more that way. Return no more that way. Don't long for that. Don't lust for that. Some of the things that they did there, oh, don't lust for that. Don't desire for that. Don't long for that. Keep going the way that God wants you to go. And don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. You stay walking on God's way and do what His Word says. Just as Moses said that to them, God is saying that to every one of us as a Christian. Return no more that way. Don't walk that way. No more. Let me show you just a few verses in the New Testament. And we'll be done. Turn with me to 2 Peter, if you would, chapter number 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2. And verse 20, towards the very end of your New Testament. 2 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 20. Don't walk that way no more. Don't walk that way no more. 2 Peter, chapter number 2, and verse number 20. The Bible says, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He says, if you've escaped from the pollutions of this world, if you've escaped from all the sinfulness of this world that God's brought you out of the dregs of sand, He's trying to put your feet on a rock and He's trying to get you to walk in the way that He wants you to go. Oh, don't become entangled with that again. Don't become ensnared with that again. Don't go back to the pollutions of the world again. Notice what it says in verse 22. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing. In the mire. As a dog would return to his own vomit, as the hog, as the pig would return to his wallowing in the mire, in the mud. He says that's what it's like. Just as we would look and think, oh, gross. Have you ever seen it? I'm trying to gross you out, but we need to be grossed out by our sin. And the Bible says it. He wants us to be grossed out by it. Why would we want to go back to the life of sin? Why would we want to go back to a life that the world has to offer? For a dog that will puke and vomit up and then go back a little bit later and just eat that vomit. We think, oh, that's sick, that's gross, that's disgusting. Why would they do that? And God says, well, why would you go back to the world? Why would you want to go back to sin? Why do you want to go back to those things? Live a new way. Walk a new life. Live over here. Don't go back that way. Return no more that way. Just turn a few pages to the right, if you would. Look at 1 John. 1 John 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2:15, the Bible warns us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Listen to the will of God. Don't return that way. Don't live for the things of this world that only offer temporary pleasures and temporary happiness. Live doing the will of God. Live walking the way that God wants you to go. And don't return that way. Don't walk that way no more. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Stand fast, therefore. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free or set us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We were in bondage before we got saved. We're in slavery to sin. Romans 6 teaches us that. And we're no longer to be the servants of sin. We're to be the servants of God. We're to live our life serving Him and walking in His way. Stand fast, therefore. Walk in the way that God wants you to walk. Be determined. I'm not going to let my heart be turned aside and pulled aside by the lust and by the desires and by the sinful temptations of this world. I want to walk in the way that God wants me to walk. I want to live my life as a vessel of honor unto the Lord that would be pleasing to Him. I'm not going to walk that way no more. I'm not going to return that way no more. God's people were in bondage in Egypt. Why would they want to go back that way? Why would they want to go back that way? Well, sometimes the tempter will try to make us think it's better to go back that way. Sometimes the great devourer, the tempter, the devil will try to make us think, oh, it's what the world has to offer you is better. It's better than living for God. It's better than living a Christian life. You don't want to be like some crazy, fanatical Christian. Have your life all be about living for God. And not just live for yourself, man. The devil doesn't even come saying, oh, you just live for me. Come on, live for me. Just live for yourself. Live for yourself. Live for things that will make you happy. You deserve a happy life. You deserve a good life. You know what he knows? We start thinking that way. Our flesh, our lusts, our desires will lead us back to the world. I got them again. I got them trapped. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants us to serve the God of this world rather than serve the God of heaven. Don't return that way no more. Don't walk that way no more. Don't walk that way no more. Son, don't walk that way no more. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please ask you to convict us and challenge us, Father. Lord, we are so can be so allured and enticed by the devil to just want to live in this world. Sometimes even Christians can become so infatuated by things that the world has to offer. People look at magazines, people look at Hollywood, people look at things on television and think, oh, those people sure look happy. People can look at the advertising and get their eyes looking back to things from their old life. Think, oh, that was sure good. That was sure good. But Father, help them not to believe the lies and temptations of the wicked one. Father, help us to return no more that way.